all will be thrown down. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated, please. Sounds gloomy, doesn't it? All will be thrown down. And Jesus says, many will come in my name. They will lead many astray. Do not be alarmed when you hear of wars. The end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. This is but the beginning of birth pangs. I don't know, that's an awful lot to take in for me. Very gloom and doom this morning. But wait, there's more. Just like the late night infomercials that are on our TVs, let's think in terms of that. But wait, there's more. If you order now, you'll get an even bigger benefit. And if you act right now, your reward will be great. Even though everything will be stripped down, don't fear. It will be rebuilt in a new way. In the gospel, Jesus reassures, even though the temple will fall, the stones will no longer be standing. This is just the beginning. There is more. There is glory on the other side. And as we come to the end of the church year, it's kind of weird for us if you're not already aware, but Advent begins the new church year, so we've got one more week in this church year. You'll see our colors change. These last 3 months, we've been walking with Mark, through the Gospel of Mark. We've been walking with Jesus and the disciples. Mark has been showing us time and again how Jesus has been preparing the disciples as they walk along the road to Jerusalem. And this morning we find ourselves in Jerusalem, near the time of Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple, one of the most magnificent structures in biblical times. The disciples couldn't help but marvel at its majesty. Some were speaking about the temple, its beautiful stones and gifts to God. Picture the disciples looking around this beautiful city, admiring the girth and stability of the buildings, and especially the temple. The disciples respond in what you may think country folk would respond to the big city lights. I talked this morning about one of my first times in Philly in high school. I was so enamored with I was from the country, sort of. I did not grow up by a big city, and when I went into Philly, the architecture just caught my eye, and I couldn't stop staring at the buildings. I picture the disciples doing the same thing this morning. But I wonder how they fail to comprehend the significance of Jesus' conflict with religious authorities or his condemnation of the temple establishment. The disciples are yet again focused on their surroundings. Remember when they were out on the sea in their boat and all they could think of was the storm. But we also need to remember how spiritually unaware the disciples are. And how slow the disciples have been to understand what Jesus is trying to teach them. The disciples only see the temple's beautiful exterior surfaces, while Jesus sees the misaligned authority that rules the people from within. The temple was the symbol that structured the Jewish community. It gave them identity and meaning. It was the center of Jewish life. Here, Jesus looks at it and says, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. They were probably thinking, what? How can that be? How can this building topple? They must have thought Jesus was crazy yet again. There's no way this building's going to fall. But Jesus is speaking about more than just the physical temple in Jerusalem. He's referring to a future when there will be no need for temples. He's also speaking about temples that you and I have associated with who we are both as individuals and who we are within a community, and how they too can crumble. And let's think about that for a minute this morning. We all have our own temples. Some have been given to us, others we have built for ourselves. Temples are the things that we think structure and order our lives, give meaning and identity, provide security and stability. At least we think they do, until they fall. Sometimes our temples are people, like our spouses or our bosses. or our children. We put them on pedestals and spend all of our efforts trying to keep them happy. And temples can be places such as Disneyland or Disney World. It was the first one that came to mind as I wrote this. They're great vacation spots, but some people spend all of their year trying to get there time and time again. We have several friends that all they do is spend their time trying to get back to Disney World over and over again throughout the year. It's like a mecca for them. They can't not go. And they do that, and in that effort to do that, they exclude work or commitments or sometimes even family and friends. Values and beliefs can also become our own temples. When we associate our values with making sure we are seen with the correct crowd socially, or maybe conducting ourselves in ways that we feel are socially important but not necessarily actually benefiting us. And money and fame are other temples we may build around ourselves. Chasing that almighty dollar often precludes us from being able to carry out God's will for our lives. The temple created when we chase fame has us striving to be known or seeking validation from others, thus feeding our egos instead of our hearts. And what about those temples of institutions? Institutions can certainly become temples. The church is certainly one institution where temple worship can wreak havoc. If we're so focused on saving the building, watching the numbers in the pews, or keeping the church alive, we're not focused on what God's call is for our ministry. And if that happens, we will surely fall. I said this morning, and I'll say it again, that is certainly not St. Stephen's, but it can happen. I know lots of churches that are in that predicament, even this morning. Well, no matter what the temple, people, places, or any of the ways, you can name a million more, I'm sure, we can become disconnected from God. And Jesus today calls us to be aware that anything we count on now, may change. However, I would say this morning that having the temple fall can be good. Once we're stripped away of what limits us, we're free to pursue that which will enrich us and empower us to build up the kingdom. But wait, there's more. How do you determine what is a temple and what is fuel for God's kingdom? And the crazy example that comes to mind, with a little help this yesterday, came those Christmas light wars that happen in the neighborhood. One person decorates their house and it's coming, you know, it's only a few weeks away. Someone's already here for a lot of neighborhoods, right? You decorate your house and you're perfectly happy with it until the neighbor pulls out their decorations. And you say, oh, yeah, no, I can do better than that. And off to the store you go to buy more stuff. It's this comparison or this competition, the us and the thems. When one neighbor outdoes another, it's a fight to the electrical death. I can think of the Jim Carrey movie, the Grinch with Jim Carrey, when the neighbors are decorating and the mayor's wife is decorating her house. Everybody's going to go there, right? She's decorating her house with that machine. Dung, 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 that shoots all the lights right up in perfect succession on her house. And the neighbor is stringing hers one strand by one strand. And she leans way over, holding on to the lights as she looks at her neighbor and feels that she's not good enough. Well, that's not the way we're supposed to be. We need to be looking at ourselves and stop comparing ourselves with our neighbors. When we see someone has more than we have or something better, we often fall into the trap of wanting more for ourselves. And it's then that these personal temples begin to take shape. So how do we tell when the temples are in the way? The scriptures tell us over and over again, do not set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. If you seek the kingdom of God first, all of those things, money, food, shelter, all of those things we need will be given to you. God calls us to be the best we can be for Him, to strive for the best in Him, and to not be in competition with others. If we are striving to be the best for the glory of God, not to make others look less, then we are building up the kingdom out of goodness, out of love for our neighbors and ourselves. Scary, though, sometimes, isn't it, when those temples start to crumble? Things that we think are so permanent in our lives, in actual fact, are only temporary. Sometimes it's hard to imagine what life would be like without those things and people that give us a sense of security and permanency. I stand here now and I can tell you, you can get to the other side of things when the temple falls. But the things we own, our wealth, our accomplishment, all things we think are important are really only temporary. Like the disciples, we too discover the things we thought were so solid and important are not the things we can rely on. If any of our temples fall, and many of them will, we need to remember that there is more coming. There's more on the other side of the circumstances. We have Christ so that our temples no longer need to be the focus. What Jesus offers is a temple so in tune with our innermost needs that we needn't look anywhere else. Mark 13 predicts trials and suffering. It leaves us today feeling scared and uncertain about what's ahead. But those are only the beginnings of birth pangs. Let our emphasis not be the suffering, but on hope and salvation. Let our temples fall. Let all be thrown down. Death isn't the end. There is more. There is hope. Hope. That's the word that leads us up to Advent. Hope is the bedrock of our faith. Hope in a God who carries us through the good and bad times of this life and onward to an eternity with Him. And if we will trust Him, commit our lives to Him, and worship God alone. Amen.